Hi, my name is Belinda Long, although above my head it probably says that I am Jody Johnston Powell. That is incorrect. My name again is Belinda Long, and I am here today to discuss the topic of halting temper tantrums. I am a certified Parents Tool Shop direct service provider, and I'm just excited to be here with you to share more on this topic because temper tantrums are a big issue with many parents, and figuring out why temper tantrums are starting and the different types of temper tantrums will help you determine what the best response to that temper tantrum will be so that then you can either halt that temper tantrum from escalating or you'll be able to even prevent them from happening in the future. So I'm excited to share this topic with you today. So, if you do have any questions, feel free to type them into the chat box as we're going along. And then I'll pause when I'm able to answer those questions. Or if you have any questions at the end, then just feel free to do that as well. So, if you have any comments or anything you would like to add, I'd enjoy having that as well. So I'm going to go ahead and go to my PowerPoint slides so that we can discuss the topic in more detail. All right, it just takes me a moment to get my PowerPoint up. So today we are going to be looking at the Universal Blueprint for Building a Healthy Family, which is part of Parents Tool Shop. And today we're going to be talking about a variety of different things from the house blueprint, which is we'll be talking about some prevention as well as child problems, because some tantrums are child problems. We'll talk about that. And then we'll be talking briefly about keep your cool and using some clear communication so that you can help your children learn about their feelings as well as how to manage their own stress and anger so that they don't have as many temper tantrums. So then I did mention earlier that there are different types of temper tantrums, and there basically are four types, and one behavior actually can be more than one type of problem. You just need to decide which tools to use by the type of problem it is at that moment with that person or child that's having the temper tantrum. So the four types I'm going to cover are frustration tantrums, overstimulation tantrums, attention tantrums, and power tantrums. And any of these four could escalate into a destructive tantrum. So frustration tantrums are basically child problems, and it deals with their emotions and feelings. Overstimulation tantrums are unintentional problems, but how they handle the situation from being overstimulated can be a parent problem. So the PU stands for a parent problem that's unintentional. The child hasn't learned how to cope in the situation, and they become overstimulated and then have a meltdown and a tantrum. Then the attention tantrums, those are both a child problem and an on-purpose parent problem. So that's a P for child and a PO for parent problem on purpose. And with these, we'll be covering each of these four types later on. The last one is the power tantrums, and that is also a child problem and a parent problem that's on purpose because they're wanting power to be able to do something. And again, like I mentioned a moment ago, any of these four could escalate into being a destructive tantrum. So you want to address the danger first and then follow through based on the type of tantrum. So you'll understand what I'm saying here in a moment. So the frustration tantrums, an example of that is that a child's trying to do something that is difficult but becomes frustrated when they can't do it the way they think it should be done. So that might be, for instance, maybe they are trying to do something new. Maybe they're trying to tie their shoe and it doesn't look the way they think it should. And they get really frustrated and irritated because they can't get the knot quite right. And so you want to, they may, and then maybe they take the shoe and throw it at the wall or throw it at the, you know, at another child and get upset. So they're just frustrated about the situation. They might look, how would you know if this is the type of tantrum that they're having, is that they might look like they're discouraged or having a hard time right before they have the tantrum. And what might escalate this type of situation would be punishing the child or ineffectively using a timeout. So what I mean by that is that with a typical timeout, what do? We put the child over in a seat or a corner, and then they have to sit there for a certain amount of time. So if they're already showing that they have some kind of physical anger that they need to release, would it be helpful to just send them to the corner and make them sit there until they can calm down? Actually, what this type of child would, in order to halt and prevent a frustration tantrum, you want to first acknowledge the child's feelings. For instance, you know, express, I see that you feel like this is really challenging and it's hard to do this, and tying your shoe takes a lot of effort. And then that's also acknowledging the child's feeling that they're frustrated. I can tell that you're frustrated and upset. And then point out the difficulty, which would be, you know, tying your shoe does take effort and it's hard to actually get the hang of how your fingers should work together in order to pull the each of the sides so that it makes a loop and stays tight. And then teaching the skills and helping children learn how to manage their stress and anger so that they know what to do when they experience frustration. So, and the second type of overstimulation, excuse me, the second type of tantrums are overstimulation tantrums. And this type of tantrum would be something where like the child melts down because they're tired, hungry, or not feeling good. And what would escalate this situation would be continuing to do the activity that's causing the stimulation. So how you know that this is the type of tantrum that the child is experiencing would be that the child's energy seems to be draining and they're lagging, or they so before they start doing the whining and the fussing and then to have a full-blown tantrum, you want to try to plan ahead and schedule things around their naps, pack snacks to take along. And then also, if they do end up having an overstimulation tantrum, you want to express your concern for them, name the feeling that they're having. You know, I can tell that you feel tired, or, oh, your stomach is telling you you're hungry. And when we're hungry, we need to, you know, or tired, we need to take care of our body. And so then you want to make sure you take care of the child's physical need. And that then will help with calming an overstimulated child so that they can, you know, get back into feeling better. Sometimes two children have an overstimulation tantrum if they're not feeling well. Perhaps they're coming down with an earache or something. So you don't may not know it yet, but they're just not feeling well and they don't feel like doing much. And but you don't are not really noticing that at first. So there may be some underlying type of health issue that the child is having that causes them to have a meltdown like this. So you want to just take a break and then meet the child's physical need, whether it's giving them, you know, something to eat and drink, letting them take a nap. And then to prevent them, you want to plan, like I mentioned before, plan ahead. If they take naps in the, you know, after lunchtime, try to go out after breakfast and run a couple errands and then have, you know, come home, have lunch, and let them take their nap. If they're older children and they don't take very many naps, but they do maybe need to have time to rest a little bit, perhaps taking doing an errand and then maybe going to the library and reading a few books together in a quiet area so that they can have a little bit of a break. And then you could go back doing the errands that you needed to take care of. So those are a few things that you can do for overstimulation tantrums. A third type of tantrum is the attention tantrums. And this is when a child acts out on purpose to get attention. So this one definitely is one that is on purpose. So what do you think would escalate the situation? If you tell them to go away and ignoring them, wouldn't that escalate the situation because they're wanting your attention? But what do most of us do? What do a lot of parents tend to do is to actually, tell them to go away and ignore them. And a lot of people have said if they give you advice, they may say, oh, you just need to ignore that behavior and it'll stop. So, but you would know, that this is an attention tantrum if you feel like your space is being violated and that they're getting in your way. So how you want to halt and prevent frustration tantrums is to first acknowledge their feelings and redirect by telling them an appropriate way to give your to get your attention, and then let them know when you can give them attention. So then after you've done that, then you can ignore the tantrum. You can even let them know that as long as they're choosing to behave in that way, they will not get your attention. But if they chose to do the other behavior, then they will get your attention. And even if, for instance, if you're on the phone with somebody or you're talking to somebody even face-to-face in person, and the child is, nagging at you, pulling on your pants, mom, 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 and just keep poking at you, and then they may start, screaming and whining and kicking or something. So instead of allowing that to go on and ignoring them, you want to say, excuse me a moment to the person you're talking to. Just give me one moment. And then you look at your child just one time. And you can say, mom is talking right now. And as soon as I'm done talking, then I can pay more attention to what you need. But if you'd like to stay here with me, you can give them a couple choices of what they can do. If you'd like to be here next to us, you're welcome to stay here, but you'll need to either get a coloring book or a puzzle to work on while we're talking. And then as soon as we're done talking, then we can work on the puzzle or color together. So giving them something to do that is not disruptive. And a lot of times they just want to be with you or around you. So just giving them an outlet of how to behave appropriately during that time, they can usually having some choices of what they might be able to do helps calm them down, and then they enjoy being with you, and they're feeling like their needs are being met by getting some attention because you're allowing them to stay right there with you instead of telling them, go away, you're bothering me. So a lot of times that's what that we may feel like doing. But doing that just escalates the situation. So you do want to, if they do keep on, pulling your pants after you've told them how to get your attention in an appropriate way or when you would be able to give them the attention, then you do want to just ignore them. But if you keep stopping and, interacting with them and telling them what to do over and over or what not to do over and over, then that just reinforces that negative behavior, and because they're getting the attention that they're wanting, even though they're getting it from the negative attention. I mean, even though the attention they're getting is negative, and that they're doing a negative behavior. So you want to try to just reinforce the positive behavior. And so if they do bring a puzzle over while you're on the phone or something, you could possibly sit there and work on it with them. Or if it's not something that's possible to do while you're talking to somebody else or whatever it is that you're not able to really pay 100% attention to them at the time, then make sure afterwards that you do actually spend that quality time with your child. So, a lot of times, if you plan ahead and talk to the child before you get on the phone or teach them appropriate skills to interact with you while you are talking to someone else or are on the phone or busy doing something, a lot of times, if you teach them those skills on how to appropriately get your attention, then maybe you have a certain sign that they, you know, maybe there's something really important that they need to let you know. So maybe instead of saying something out loud, they write you a note if they're old enough to do that. Or maybe they do a little silly sign with their hand or their face to let you know, you know, hey, this is important and I really do need your attention at this time. So planning ahead, making codes or letting them know in advance, and then spending quality time with your children to prevent attention tantrums from starting too. So if you know you're going to be having to you know, be on a phone conversation or you have a task at home you need to get done, perhaps planning a time that you want to, that you'll be able to actually sit down, read a book or play a game with your child will be helpful, because then they know, okay, yes, mom wants to spend time with me. Mom or dad want to spend time with me. However, they have to get this task done first, and then they'll be able to do that. So just talking with the child and planning ahead is very helpful for attention tantrums. So then the next type of tantrum is called the power tantrums. And examples of this would be a child that wants something and is told no, so they throw a fit, or a child doesn't want to do something they're told to do, and then going round and round about the limits and arguing will only escalate this situation and make things worse. So you'll know that you're in this type of that the child's having this type of tantrum, because you'll feel like your authority is being challenged. So you want to halt a power tantrum by actually stating what your bottom line is, knowing what your bottom line is, and then using choices within limits. So your bottom line is that outer circle, and then the choices within limits is represented by the zigzag. So that's inside the circle, instead of like the top circle there where there's arrows going round and round and round. You just feel like you're never going to stop going round about what the child's going to do or not do. So that's what you want to avoid, is going round and round. And then what you do want to do is state your bottom line. For instance, if they were asking for a piece of candy, you know, they wanted a piece of candy before dinner time, you can say, you can have candy after you eat your healthy food. Or if you want them to get clean and they don't want to, you state your bottom line is your hair and body need to be clean by 8. So those are your bottom lines. And then you offer choices within those limits, which, you know, you could say you may have a piece of fruit or some carrots while dinner is being prepared. Or another idea would be you can either get a bath or shower. It's up to you. So that's giving some choices that the child can choose. And then after you've set your bottom line and given choices within limits, then you disengage from the discussion. They know what your bottom line is and what choice they have. A lot of times, children just want to be able to have some say in what happens. So if they and would like to know that, you know, if they're, sometimes it's even just that they're hungry and they see the candy, so they, you know, it's easy to get and they want to, it is good probably to them, and they want to eat the candy because they're hungry. So they're not even thinking of the nutritional value of it. Depending on their age, as they get older, they'll realize it more. So, and then some more ideas for preventing power tantrums. Just wanted to ask, what usually starts a power tantrum? What's the number one reason a power tantrum would probably start? Is when a child hears the word no. And so what we want to do is figure out how you can mean no and deny requests without actually saying the word no. So here are some ideas would be to give a conditional yes. So going back to the candy, the child wanting a piece of candy, you can give them a conditional yes. Yes, you can have a piece of candy after we've had dinner and eaten our healthy foods. So that's giving a conditional yes. Or perhaps they want to ride their bike, but the playroom isn't picked up. And they're saying, oh, can I go ride my bike? And you could say, yes, you can ride your bike after the playroom is picked up. So you're stating your bottom line limit there with riding when they can go and ride the bike. What if it's raining outside and they want to go out? Would you be able to tell them that they could go out in the rain if you want, if there's really a good reason you want them to stay dry? Some families, they don't mind if their kids go out and play in the rain. My son loves playing in the rain, actually, but if we're having to go somewhere, of course, he wouldn't be able to go out and play in the rain. So I could give him choices if he's wanting to be active by letting him know that, yes, I understand that you can, this would be number five would be offer an alternative. I have that way down on the bottom, but offering an alternative, you know, you want to stay, we need to stay dry. So yes, you can play in the basement and get some energy out. I realize you are wanting to get some energy out, so go ahead and play in the basement. I'm going to go back up to my list here. I already covered give a conditional yes. And then number two on my list here was let them know that you'll think about whatever it is that they're wanting to do. So instead of just saying no right away. So if they're, can I have a piece of candy? As soon as you say the word no, what do they start doing? They start thinking, you know, they don't start thinking. They actually start shut down and think, okay, they're not going to let me have any candy. And then they get mad and start, you know, conniving and wanting to figure out how they can get the candy anyway. But sometimes if you just say, let me think about it, I'll let you know, perhaps not with a candy issue, but perhaps like if a, maybe more like a teenager that wants to go to a friend's house, or a child who wants to walk down the sidewalk to play with somebody that lives down the street. So perhaps, you know, you'll have to say, maybe let me think about it. And then, you know, really think about it and consider the options, because otherwise they're going to think, well, she's never going to get back with me anyway, and I'm never going to get to do this. So then that can cause some resentment. So you do want to get back with them after you've thought about it for a short time to let them know the decision. And then you can give number three is give information and reasons. So that would be sort of like what I mentioned, the candy, saying that the, you know, after you eat your healthy foods, then you can have the candy. So that's giving more information about when they can have the candy, as well as the reason why they need to eat their other foods first. And you can even, if you've never told them before, you can give more information and reasons. But after you've told them the reasons and information, the next time, you don't have to actually go into all that information and give them that yourself. You can actually start asking them questions about, you know, when would you be able to have the candy, and why do we have to eat dinner first? And then let them respond and tell you, so that they are internalizing that themselves. So another idea to avoid power tantrums is to and so that you are saying no but denying a quest, is that use wishes and fantasy. So you could say, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could have candy anytime we want it, and it would be able to give us the nutritional value we that our bodies need it to grow and be healthy and strong and not, you know, that would be awesome. If candy's so good, what kind of candy would you have? I'd have some gumdrops, and I might have some, oh, I love dark chocolate, so I'd be eating some dark chocolate. And what would you have? Oh boy, yeah, you like those caramel chocolate covered candies. Oh my goodness, that would be awesome if we could just eat that and get everything we have could have out of that for our nutrition. So just using wishes and fantasy, or so those are five different things that you could do to actually deny requests without actually saying no, which is give a conditional yes, let them know you'll think about it, and then actually get back with them. Give information or reasons. Use wishes and fantasy, and offer an alternative that's within your bottom line limits. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, all four of those types of tantrums could lead into destructive tantrums. So what that means is that they get so round up, so intense that they start maybe injuring themselves or destroying something or being destructive. And because so if that's happening, you need to actually pay attention because it's dangerous and it's jeopardizing either their or somebody else's safety, property, health. It's violating something that's dangerous, and if they need to be that type of behavior needs to be stopped immediately. So some instances such as like ch a child banging their head on the ground or ripping up library books or hitting another sibling or a child, all of that is destructive tantrums, so they need to be dealt with immediately. So we have a dilemma though going on here with destructive tantrums, because if you go and do, we say to stop once for attention tantrums, and then tell them how to get the attention appropriately, and then ignore. But then if we are having to stop a second time, if they become so destructive, we're kind of like here in a parenting dilemma. However, you do need to take care of the situation, so you want to right away take action, acknowledge their feelings at the same time. So that might look like if a child's banging their head on the ground, you might be, picking them up and cradling them and moving them somewhere that like a couch with a pillow or something, and letting them know, I see that you're really upset and frustrated. However, it's dangerous and you can get really hurt by banging your head on the floor. So if you really feel like you need to bang your head, then use this pillow instead. So things like that. If they're punching the wall, not wall, yeah, punching the wall, or if they're trying to hit somebody else, if they're so upset, then right away take action, remove them from the other person or the wall area, and say, okay, if you really are this upset, I see that you're feeling angry, and if you're needing to punch something, at least give them something else like a pillow again to punch. So taking something that is going to be dangerous or destructive and making it a little bit safer, and eventually then once they're calm, you want to teach anger and stress management skills, which is there's a whole That's a whole topic in and of itself. So we have teleseminar recording that you can get that's on that specific topic, and it's good. That it will help the child. You'll be able to help the child know when they're feeling upset and frustrated, what to do, and like where to go and what to do. And it also helps you plan your own stress and anger management plan of knowing where to go and what to do when you're upset as well. So I suggest that you check into our Parents Tool Shop teleseminar album. It has lots of different topics that you can look at, and the one that I'm specifically talking about now is called Keep Your Cool, and it has a lot of details on how to plan your own anger and stress management plan. So anyways, the So the destructive tantrums, you do really to make sure that you're following through with immediate action so that it's going to be safe and not get out of control more. Let's see here. I want to go back to this other screen. And I'm going to. So, I hope that that was helpful for you today. I'm trying to see what time it is. And does anyone have any questions right now that I can answer? Don't see anything. We do still have some time. I can go through some of the different types of tantrums again and give more examples. I just wasn't sure how long it was going to take me to go through the whole presentation today. And I knew we were having a limited time. But if anyone has any questions or would like to say anything, okay. I'm going to pause the recording. So today, I hope you have been able to take away some helpful pointers that will help you with handling and halting temper tantrums so that you can have a more peaceful home and enjoy parenting more. So I know that these skills have been beneficial to help lots of different families from all different backgrounds. And once you can determine which type of temper tantrum that you're dealing with, you'll be much better equipped with knowing what skill you need to use in order to halt that from either escalating or getting worse. And then, like I said, using the prevention skills, you want to be able to think ahead so that you can teach your children the skills that they need so that they can identify their feelings and get in tune with their emotions so that then they can use anger and stress management skills to actually reduce that anger and stress so that they can know how to behave appropriately and deal with whatever is upsetting them or bothering them in a healthy way. Because ultimately that's what we want for our children, is to be able to identify their own feelings and know how to appropriately instead of reacting, they can respond, and it will be a much healthier relationship that you can build with your family by actually being able to identify the temper tantrums and what's causing that, and then using that information so that you can prevent them from happening in the future. So I'm going to go ahead and log off for today. I don't have anybody to ask questions. That no one is having any questions right now. So we will close off the webinar for today. And you all have a wonderful week. And look forward to being able to talk to people more often on a regular basis. So hopefully you can attend each of the Parent Success Club webinars. The topics will be sent out to you through email if you are a member. If you are just here to for the first time as a to just try it out. I hope that you've enjoyed it and we'll be able to meet with us again the next time. So you all have a great day and happy parenting.